Good morning. We are continuing this series. The first part we covered Satan's lie, God would want me to be happy. Today we're going to be covering a lie that, once again, many fall into and believe, which is, God loves me the way I am. Now, from a distance, this statement looks to be true. But we don't know their hearts, their minds, but we do know that this statement is partially true. God does love you. Absolutely. And we see that in texts like John 3:16, Romans 5:8, which we'll be covering here shortly. But what they have in mind when they look at this statement and they say it is that God loves me the way I am, so I don't need to change. I can continue living both for the world and for God. There is no scripture that backs that view. But the scripture is the opposite, teaches the opposite of what they believe to be true. We know that in scripture, God calls us to repent, to change. Not to remain as we were, but what we are to be in Jesus Christ. A lot of the religious world will say things like this: God loves me the way I am, to justify their sinful living and thinking they can serve God and that He has no problem with it. So let's see what Scripture has to say. The first thing I want to cover this morning, that God's love is real, but it's not approval. Romans chapter 5, verse 8. But God demonstrates His own love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. This text right here really does demonstrate, makes it very clear that God does love you, even while you are in the lost state. But it moved Him to send His Son to rescue us from sin, not reassure us that sin is okay. Not once do we see Christ interacting with the lost. Does He tell them it's okay the way you are living? We saw that with the Samaritan woman. When Christ came across the Samaritan woman, it was not, you know what, you were married four times before or five times before, and the man you're living with is not your husband. That's okay. Continue living that way. No. The adulterous woman. Yes, He did not condemn her, but He told her, go and sin no more. There's so much evidence in Scripture. Yes, God loves you. He shows mercy, but He calls for change. Jesus Himself, and we went over this text earlier, makes it very plain. John chapter 3, verses 16 through 19. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send the Son into the world to judge the world, but that the world might be saved through Him. He who believes in Him is not judged. He who does not believe has been judged already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the judgment, that the light has come into the world, and men love the darkness rather than the light, for their deeds were evil. That's the whole reason Christ came down, born of a virgin, began His ministry, performing signs and wonders, was to bring people to believe in Him and to obey. In the same book, John 14:15, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. That is not a statement that is saying, if you love me, maybe keep my commandments. No. It is a command. This is what you need to do. God so loved the world. But guess what? The world can still be condemned if it refuses the love God is showing. Guess what? His own people, nailed him to a cross, rejected him. And even after he rose from the dead, it was made known. Even his disciples would face rejection. Even his disciples, his apostles, would be put to death because of the truth they preached. People still rejected this love, this great love. It's reality. And it's the same reality that we are seeing playing out today in our world. Secondly, God's love calls for repentance, not comfort in sin. The gospel, the very book that you have before you, demands a response. Acts chapter 17, verse 30. Therefore, having overlooked the times of ignorance, God is now commanding men that everyone, everywhere, should repent. This is not a suggestion. It is a command that we are called to change. And guess what? Christ says it even more sharply. In our main text, Luke chapter 13, starting in verse 3. I tell you, no, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. Or do you think that those 18 on whom the Tower of Siloam fell and killed them were worse offenders than all the men who live in Jerusalem? I tell you, no, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. Here is Christ, the one that the religious world paints as all accepting, all loving, approves of your lifestyle. No. This is who God is. God's love is not permission to remain as we are, but mercy that invites us out of rebellion. Because as you live in sin and continue to live in sin, you are living in rebellion. You are rebelling against God. Yes, He loves you, even in your rebellious state, but He does not give you permission to remain as you are. He calls you out of that rebellion and to come and believe and obey, to live as He has commanded you. There are plenty of people in our world who have not repented, who have not believed and obeyed. Take it back. Who have believed but not obeyed. And they think, I can continue living as I am. They have no clue what the true gospel teaches. And just like the world then, they didn't know. Even the men who stood before them, who taught the law, didn't understand. Because they themselves were living that rebellious state. And so what is the gospel? The gospel isn't stay as you are. It is be washed, changed, sanctified. That's the gospel. That's the true gospel. Not the fake gospel that people preach and teach today. Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 verses 9 through 11 describes that old life plainly. And here it is in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, starting in verse 9. Or do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived, neither the sexually immoral, idolaters, adulterers, homosexuals, thieves, greedy, drunkards, revilers, swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you, but you were washed, but you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and in the Spirit of God. Here's the old life that Paul lays out. Full of sin, lost, in rebellion. But notice and do not miss, and such were some of you. This is who you once were. You were a man or woman lost in sin. engulfed in sin, indulging in it, living it. But now this is who you are now. You have been washed. How are we washed? We are washed by being immersed, baptized for the forgiveness of sins. And the blood of Christ washes over us, making us white as snow. And then when we raise out of the water, we have been justified and sanctified. Sanctified meaning set apart. You're different. You're not to be like the world. Yet we have many Christians, even in the church, who have conformed to the world. Guess what? It has found its way into the church in so many different ways. And at that point, you are no longer sanctified. You have conformed to the ways of the world. Because, once again, the gospel message is change. Not self-improvement, but conversion. You know, one thing that we notice about self-improvement, it usually doesn't last too long. You know, thinking of it, we have a new year coming about. We will enter into the year 2026 on Thursday. Or Friday, whichever one, I don't know. I don't care. I'm going to be asleep. People want to find a way to improve themselves every new year. Gyms are going to be packed around the globe. Won't be that way for long. The healthy sections of the grocery stores are going to be cleaned out. Not for long. Self-improvement's only temporary. But when you completely change, as we see here in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, as Paul says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old things passed away. Behold, new things have come. When old things pass away, they're not used any longer. We don't go back to them, do we? We get rid of old TVs if they stop working. Off to the junkyard it goes. We go buy a new TV. No longer remembering that old TV. Our cars break down and no longer work. Junkyard it goes. We get a new vehicle. We're no longer thinking about it or any of that. We are focused on our new vehicle. Guess what? When we raise out of the water, when we become that new creation, when we have put on Christ, the old self, we don't think about it. We want nothing to do with it. We focus on the present. We are a new creation. We are to live that. That's what it's all about. Change. Not temporary self-improvement. Permanent change. We are now in Christ. We need to act like it. We need to put away our worldly self. The man that was dead in sin. The woman that was dead in sin. And we are to embrace Christ. And to live a holy and pleasing life. Because God's love does discipline. It does train. Many people want a God who loves but never corrects. Guess what? That God doesn't exist. That's a false idol that many have painted in the religious world. This God who is all loving, this God who doesn't correct. That's not who God is. Nowhere do we see that God in Scripture. Actually, if you read into the Old Testament, we see a God who disciplines. We see a God who corrects. That's very evident. We see it in the New Testament as well. Yet people in the world who have conformed to the ways of the world, they like this image a lot better. But it's not true. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 6, for those whom the Lord loves, he disciplines. And he flogs every son whom he receives. You know, there's a thing called gentle parenting now. It doesn't work. God doesn't gentle parent. It's complete opposite. But yet our world has this image that discipline, when you discipline your children, it's hatred. No, actually, it's the opposite. It's proof of fatherly love. You know, if you as a parent care about your children, love your children, you're going to discipline. You're going to teach them right from wrong. You're going to show them this is what you need to do. Don't do this again. Another picture that we have that the world paints is that grace is a free pass to do whatever you want. It's not. This grace that God extended to mankind is not a free pass to live however we want. We have so many teachings out there that teach, well, once saved, always saved. That means once you're saved, you can just continue living however you want. That's not what the gospel teaches. Guess what? God's love is not free, like so many believe. Yes, it was extended to us. But there are terms and conditions to be met in order to be in that love, in that grace, to be saved, to have salvation. Titus chapter 2, verses 11 and 12. For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all men. Okay, sounds like it's backing up this statement. We'll read on. Instructing us that denying ungodliness and worldly desires. There it is. Denying ungodliness and worldly desires. What do you think he's saying there? Anything that he has said is sin and that is wrong, don't do. Deny it. Reject it. Don't live in it. Don't live for it. But then he goes on to say we should live sensibly, righteously, and godly in the present age. Here's the terms and conditions. You know, when we look at contracts that we always push agree on or sign without reading, we forget to read the fine print. Here's the fine print to be in his love, to be in that grace. Deny ungodliness and worldly desires and live sensibly, righteously, and godly in the present age. That means we are not to live as we want. Paul, in many of his introductions in his letters, would call himself a bondservant of Christ. You know what that word bondservant is? Slave. A slave to Christ. He's our master. We have rejected our old master, which was the world, which was sin. We were once bondservants, slaves to sin. But now that Christ came, extended his love and grace, those who believe and obey now have been freed and are now slaves to Christ, which is far better, way better. We are now his. We were bought with a price. And that price was blood. Christ came and died so that we could be free. So when we look at this statement, God loves me the way I am becomes false if it means God will never confront me, correct me, or call me higher. Guess what? God does confront, God does correct, and he does call us higher. He calls us to a higher standard, his standard. He defines what is good. He defines what is right. And he is our master, and we are to keep his commandments. We are to obey his commandments every day until we either die or Christ comes back. Because guess what? If people continue believing in this statement and using this statement in the false way, they're going to lose their souls and they're going to hear the words, "Depart from me, I never knew you." And so what is true? Let's make this statement biblical. God loves me even though I'm a sinner so much that he calls me to repent and become what I ought to be in Christ. That's a much better way to put it. Or another way we can put it. God loves me where I am but refuses to leave me where I am. Those are better statements, better mottos, slogans that you can live by. Because yes, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Absolutely. God loves the lost. He loves sinners, but he does not approve of them remaining in that state. He calls them by his mercy out of rebellion and to live for him and to embrace the true gospel. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 14. As obedient children, not being conformed to the former lusts, which were yours in your ignorance, but like the Holy One who called you, be holy yourselves also in all your conduct, because it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. Here is the message that fits the true gospel, right here. Not being conformed to the former lust and your ignorance. Once you learn the truth and hopefully believe and obey the truth, no longer can you use that excuse of ignorance. You know it. It's like when your parents tell you, don't put your hand in the cookie jar. Okay, now you know. You can't proclaim ignorance. And you go and do it again, at that point, it's stupidity. Because you are bluntly ignoring and rejecting what your parents told you. There is no time for ignorance anymore. There are no more excuses that can be offered up. We know it. We know what the gospel commands of us. We know what his word commands of us. Yet, do we live it? Are we holy? Do we strive every day to be holy like God? Doesn't mean you're going to be perfect. Doesn't mean you're going to be holy and blameless like God. But he does expect us to try and strive every day to live to that standard that he has set before us. So many as of now are perishing because they have fallen for another one of Satan's lies. And it's sad, and we should care. Understand this morning. If you're not a Christian, you're lost. If you have not answered the gospel today, you're lost. But God still loves you. But he calls you out of that rebellious state, that lost state. Don't continue in sin this morning. And like I tell people all the time, once you walk out those doors and you drop dead, there's nothing more we can do for you. Or if you walk out those doors and Christ comes back, there's nothing we can do for you. Guess what? Your parents, your grandparents cannot defend you when you stand before the judgment seat. You will be standing before Christ and will be judged accordingly. Do not allow yourself to hear the words, depart from me, I never knew you. This morning, give your life to Christ, and this is how you do it. You must hear the word and believe the word that has been presented to you, the truth, the gospel. But it doesn't stop there. There are conditions, terms and conditions. You must repent, means change. You reject your old life, you reject that sin, you reject the worldly ways, and you turn back to God. You do a complete 360 in your life. You change. It's not just simply being sorry. But then you must confess your faith in Christ. But it doesn't stop there like so many false gospels teach. You are to obey, which means you are to be immersed for the forgiveness of your sins. You're being buried in the likeness of Christ. Your old self is being buried, put to death, and the blood of Christ comes over and washes you clean. When you raise out of the water in the likeness of his resurrection, you are now a new creation. And you are to embrace the truth, the gospel, and to not only preach and teach it, but to live it. Obey it every day that you wake up and are given another chance. But it doesn't stop there. You must remain faithful. Hebrews 10:23. Or if you were a Christian, you've gone astray. Understand, you're rebelling against God. You are rebellious. But thankfully, just like we see with the prodigal son, God is waiting, showing mercy at this time, giving you time to repent, to change, and to be reconciled to Him. Why not do it this morning? So if you're here this morning, you need any assistance, come as we stand and as we sing.